Hey, everybody. That was a wee bit of Soul Finger by the Barquets, and this is Rachel Wharton. I am the deputy editor of Edible Brooklyn and Edible Manhattan, and this is Brooklyn Eats on HeritageRadioNetwork.com. We're on some Wednesdays, often Wednesdays at 6 p.m., and you should subscribe to me on iTunes. Today, I have two very, very special guests, extra special because they're from Manhattan. They are Jenny Miller, a food writer, and Adam Alexander, who is a set designer. Say hello, Jenny.
Hi.
Say hello, Adam.
Hello. But
and props.
I used to do set design. Now I do crazy theme parties.
Yes, and I have been to some of those.
Yeah.
Let's see. So these two guys put together salons. They're called Les Salonnières. Mm-hmm. And what's really amazing about them is not just that they have artists, they have food artisans, they have people who make jams, they have people who put together wine tastings, they have poets like Big Mike, they have photographers, they have comic book creators, they have performance artists, but they also always incorporate food. There's usually some kind of dinner. And even more amazing is that it's in a kind of semi-abandoned, except for the fact that Adam lives there, tenement house, very, very close to the Williamsburg Bridge in Manhattan, way down there. And the salons take place in an apartment building below Adams that looks as if it hasn't been touched in 135 years. They're very lovely. Mm-hmm. But I want to ask these guys how they started working together and why they decided that they wanted food to be a component of these types of things.
Well, I met Jenny a long time ago. I used to work at Employees Only as a food runner, and you know, I just have fun with it and I go out. And well, anyway, so I was dressed one day in these white short shorts and I was like really bored, and they didn't really want me to wear these short shorts. And I saw this table of girls and I just decided to go over and you know, give them hell.
At the time, my friend lived...
Jenny, would that have been you?
Yes. My friend was living in an Audrey Hepburn-esque apartment about half a block from Employees Only, so we were regulars.
And were you already a food writer at that point?
I was not, no. I was a lowly copy editor, longing for more.
Some of us are still copy editors.
Oh, so should we talk more about how we met?
Well, how did you come to, like, so Jenny basically does the food part of these salons, and Adam, you do the rest, or is that you'd work together on every bit of it?
Well, I guess I should fast forward from that story. So, you know, Jenny and I became really good friends over time, and...
Yes, Adam, we need you to speak directly into the microphone. We can't hear the pearls of wisdom flowing effusively from your...
I'm sorry. So Jenny and I became good friends over time, and we just kept in touch, and then... After I was doing set design for a long time, I started going into doing underground supper clubs, and you know, Jenny started writing more actively about food, and so you know, we kept being in touch. We were friends, and eventually we came up with this idea for a salon, and we both wanted to heavily incorporate what we do.
And one of the reasons you wanted to do a salon was to give other people a chance to express what they did, to show their work. Is that right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, I think the idea started as a supper club. It's hard to remember, but I think it started as a supper club, but then we decided we wanted this salon component because Adam is an artist and knows a lot of artists, and there's not really anything going on with that as far as, you know, a venue that offers artists a chance to express themselves. So we thought that could be something that made us stand apart.
From other supper clubs?
Exactly, yeah. If we were to combine the food element with the artistic element. And that it would kind of harken back to this era in Manhattan that everyone is romantic for, that it feels like we've lost.
Which could even be like the early 80s. Or right. When people were doing... We're artisans of all kinds, and or people who are just interested in meeting other people, or just, you know, doing things themselves, got together. I love the fact of these salons that food is a part, that it's all these different worlds that I enjoy, like poetry and music and performance art and just pure craziness. And yet there's also a sit down dinner or a brunch where everyone brings a piece and that they're thematic. And it's like those of us who are in the food world, those other pieces don't often come into play like that. It's very nice.
Yeah, I mean, it sort of actually started as like we would have... Adam is a very great cook and he taught himself how to cook and he's super creative in the kitchen. I don't think he's ever used a recipe.
Yeah. The last dinner that we did, we made what was it? We did the dessert pizza. And yeah. So it was like an entire pizza that like, it looked like pizza, but it was like made out of angel food cake and for the dough, and then raspberry puree, and then all sorts of other stuff. Ricotta cheese.
How many ago was that? Was I at that one?
That was two ago. You were there.
So why did you decide? Do you try and work the theme of the dinners or the meal component into what's happening the rest of the evening in any way?
Yeah, absolutely. The basic idea is that we're combining as many groups of artists as we can. And so we always start out with a dinner, which is like a paid dinner. And then we bring in either Jenny and I will cook, or we'll bring in a special guest chef. And then after the dinner occurs, we will open it up to everybody, and it's totally free. And we'll have a great bartender mixologist. So, you know, we're incorporating great food, cocktails, and then later on in the evening, artists of all sorts can just present their work.
And so sometimes those artists, which I think is really, really cool, are food artisans, like someone who makes jams, or the guy who did the Asian buns.
Eddie Wang from Bauhaus. Yes.
And well, I went to the brunch. Jenny, you weren't there. I went to the brunch, and so one of the people who got to present her work alongside someone who does their own comic book or poet is someone who makes jams. And I thought that's really excellent, is that they're considered an artist on the same level and get to present their work to a crowd of people listening and asking questions on the same platform. It's very cool.
Yeah, and that just kind of happened because we decided we wanted to combine a supper club and an artist salon. And then I have a lot of contacts in the food world, and it just suddenly started occurring to me, like, wait a minute, I should get some of these people on board. And then our thinking was, well, it's really not that different if, you know, so-and-so is making a comic book, so-and-so has a stop-motion video, and somebody else is making ice cream, but they're putting their heart and soul into it. That's no less an artistic endeavor than the other forms of art we've talked about. So we just started
cross inspiration,
deciding, you know, we'd always have at least one food purveyor on board.
People do not have, they can come after the meal and just come and see the performances. But having done both ways and having missed everything altogether, what's nice about the meal is that all of the artists are usually there too, or at least they were at the one I was at. So you're kind of, you're sitting beside them, you know, eating your bagel, and then, because I was at a Jewish brunch, and then you're getting to see them perform too, so you get to see, to meet them in advance. But that was, have you thought about, because I think part of the feeling of a salon is discussion too. Have you ever thought about having the meal in between or after performances so people can talk about them, or is that too much of a pain in the ass in terms of planning?
That is a big pain in the ass in terms of logistics.
Well, you know, it's you bring people there early and they sit down and they relax. It's like, yeah. it's like the natural flow. Like I think if you did it later in the evening, nobody would want to stay.
Oh, the meal itself.
Yeah, like you can't, like once you get it rolling, like mm-hmm. you start out with like a low energy, and then everybody yes. arrives and gets higher energy, and then people show their artwork, get up and talk about what they do. And
we have thought about, I mean, the problem with that is that for the supper club, we charge admission.
Right.
And for the party, we don't. But we definitely have thought about having people perform during dinner, mm-hmm. which could kind of incorporate part of what you're talking about, I think.
I think the discussion does happen. It's just I noticed at the one, I really loved the brunch I was at, because you're sitting at those, it's hard to even describe. I'm not doing the space justice. It's the second floor. It's the second floor of a tenement. Floor.
It's like a totally bombed.
It's basically
out.
two apartments, right? You have one on each side. So, and they're very poorly lit, because I don't think that this floor even has electricity. So one side is where people do performances, and like it's, you know, there's like a bathtub that occasionally has a mannequin residing over there, and the side with the where you eat is like this long table, and there's like mixed match but very nice nice plates. Actually, what I loved is like you've got the dinner plates and then the lunch plates and then saucers. So like depending on where you were along the table, you either had a very tiny plate or you had a very large plate. It was totally awesome.
It's great for initiating conversation.
Yes.
You know, you're like, excuse me, like, I'm sorry, I don't have a plate that's big enough. Right. Like, could you please pass me the the salmon for the third time.
Yes. Yeah. And you're also sitting next to people that you don't know, who may be there because they're friends with the poet, or they may be there because they're friends with the drummer, or they may be there because they're friends with the jam maker. And so you're really getting a whole different group of people at your dinner table, which doesn't happen when you go out to dinner, and doesn't happen when you have a dinner party. And it almost doesn't happen when you go to a traditional supper club, because those are people who are seeking out supper club experiences, and as opposed to just happening to show up for, you know, their pal Big Mike, who I wish I could have on here.
He's unbelievable, but totally. I don't think he could.
Is he coming to your next one? He swears a lot. That is the understatement of the century.
He talks about the rites of spring.
I would like to
Bukowski-esque.
Oh, he's totally Bukowski. I've actually described him as such. Oh, so if can you even talk about? Do you have the next one in the works? Maybe we should talk about past ones and how you came. Maybe talk a little bit about how you came up with some of the themes for the dinners themselves. And if there's probably like some dream one where you're really getting to, Adam, where you're really getting, we haven't even really talked about all the amazing things that you do in terms of creating environments, for lack of a
talk about Adam for a minute, because the whole reason this came about is that Adam is an amazing event designer and I'm just kind of on board for fun. But talk about Adam for a moment.
Yes, Adam, what do you do? What do you do?
What do I do for a living?
Yes. Talk about the Marie Antoinette.
Oh, yeah. So in addition to these salons, which are invitation only, is that the most titillating thing you've ever heard?
Well, if somebody's really like and out there radical, listening, they can, you know.
If you're listening to the Heritage Radio Network, we think we probably want you there.
That's so true. But email you got to be able to spell our name, the Saloniers.
Les Saloniers.
And pronounce
two N's, one R, O and one L.
But in addition to doing these, Adam also does parties, both on for your own and also paid, correct?
Mm-hmm.
So tell us a little bit about those.
Okay.
Marie Antoinette in particular.
The Marie Antoinette party. Okay.
Which I missed.
So it all started out when last summer I did this 3-day Carnival of Ascension party, which is just like masquerade crazy party where the whole place is decorated and it was this whole life and death theme party.
Was that for yourself or for someone else?
It was for myself. It was basically, we just decided to do it. It was like, well, why not? Like, you know, it's a summer. There wasn't much going on. So
let's do party it. For three days.
So then Dara from the supper club found out about me, and then she contacted me a couple of months later and she's like, hey, let's meet up. So I met up with her and we started discussing possible themes, and we came up with a Marie Antoinette theme. So then I turned that whole idea into like a unpretentious party. How do you do like an unpretentious party? So it's like came up with this whole idea of like Marie Antoinette's been on a 3-day bender for like, you know, she's been like boozing it up and gambling for 3 days, and like the whole place looks just like a giant crazy mess. So it's like when you get to the Orsay restaurant, our venue for the private club dinner party, it was, you know, you get this saucy French girl that was like, you're too late, go home. And she's like, and then there's like hookers in the stairwell with feather dusters, like telling you you're making too much a mess. And then you get in, the whole place is like decorated to the nines. And
if this is a Marie Antoinette party. Oh, yes. Good question. But also, if this is a Marie Antoinette party, there's got to be some serious cake. Right?
Oh, yeah.
Yes. Okay. Tell us about the cake.
Yeah. So after I designed it, the whole theme, we got cake box came in.
I was gonna say we have about 2 minutes. So is this cake story? Can you sum it up in under 2 minutes? Or do we need to save the cake story?
All right, cake boss, the TV show, contacted me, and they wanted to make a cake for it. So Dara and I went in, ordered a cake. The cake came in and it was unbelievably big. And then we had this crazy cake cutting ceremony, which I can't talk about over the air. Until
why not?
Well, it's the episode's
gonna air.
Oh, it's
ordered on a cake boss. Oh, yeah, sweet.
Yeah, so it's super secret. But let's just say there's a crazy cake cutting ceremony with a very big
amazing
serving knife.
Okay, so in the past you've done Mexican themes. What is it? What are some of the other themes for the
Italian?
All right. So when we come back from this short interlude, we're going to talk about the themes and how you created them. Thank you very much. Yes.
On the table, the deal that kept the courts like arms.
That was AC Newman with On the Table. He's a fellow Brooklynite, and he for sure listens to my show. This is Brooklyn Eats. I'm Rachel Wharton. I'm the deputy editor of Edible Manhattan and Edible Brooklyn. And today I'm talking to Adam Alexander and Ginny Miller, the pair that put together Les Salonnières, these amazing salons that are held in a semi-abandoned tenement, not semi-abandoned, on the Lower East Side. And they include artists, performers, comic book artists, jam makers, and there's always a dinner or meal component. And I wanted to ask them a little bit about some of the ones they've had in the past and what they've got planned for the future. All right, so the first one was Hawaiian.
Yeah, the first one was a tiki theme, and that was inspired because we actually held the first one in a loft in Williamsburg.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and the guy who owns it has...
Matt Mikus,
yeah, yeah. Has an incredible collection of tiki mugs and velour paintings and other sorts of wonderfully cheesy vintage relics like that.
And why did you do the first one there as opposed to you, because you maybe didn't even have your space ready yet in the...
Well, I guess I didn't really conceive of it. Like the whole Salonnières like space, which is just two bombed out tenements, and like I just got a Sawzall and cut a hole in the walls.
Yeah, and the paint is like peeling off the... No one lives in these apartments. The paint is peeling off the walls. There's no electricity.
It started out as a ridiculous joke where I was if
you're 7 feet tall, I mean, not that any of us are, but if you're 7 feet tall, you're screwed. You're not coming to... You have to just either hunch the whole time. They're amazing. It really is mind-blowing.
So our second theme was bodega. Because it was bodega, right?
You have to bring bodega back.
Was it
back.
Mexican or bodega?
Mexican, I think.
Okay, yeah, it was Mexican.
Okay, but so talk about, for example, with the bodega theme, what did you do for the food, and were any of the performances relating at all?
I don't know what that means, bodega. That's Italian one, right?
We did the Italian one. That was...
Okay, talk about the Italian one.
The Italian one.
Well, we served... I think it came about because...
Not to offend anyone else.
Yeah, not to offend anyone. completely tongue-in-cheek there. But my friend Julianne...
But that would mean it's Italian-American. Is that what you mean when you're saying you did an Italian...
Yeah.
Yeah, meatballs and
pasquetti.
Yeah, like kind
of old school, like 1950s. We played Dean Martin.
Oh, that's awesome.
And Louis Prima.
But my friend, is kind of an ode to the building itself, too. Say it was...
Yeah. And yeah, that's kind of the idea. Like, who might have lived here? It might have been Italian immigrants. It might have been Jewish immigrants.
Probably all the above. Oh,
that's a good idea.
Exactly.
What
other kind of like immigrant families would...
Well,
be
the brunch
tenement?
You did just 2 weekends ago was
Jewish?
A Jewish brunch. I mean, it was perfect, and it was like a week before Passover, and you know, everyone came and everyone went to Russ and Daughters, basically. Like 10 people were asked to bring a component of a Jewish brunch, and all 10 of us were at Russ and Daughters in line together.
No way.
Which is, yes, it was hilarious and totally appropriate.
It's totally on the way.
And you can read about Russ and Daughters on ediblemanhattan.com, by the way. Okay. Oh, anyway, but back to the thematic. But so I'm curious as to how you think about putting them together.
Well, I guess to be honest, the dinner theme is usually separate from any sort of uniting theme among the artists. We just sort of try to, we have a theme for the meal, and then we try to curate a kind of a varied mix of artists for afterwards. So it's not all poets or all musicians or anything like that.
How do you find them?
They come to us, you know, it's funny.
Come
it's
to
like,
you.
Well, we send it out and we're like, who wants to show their artwork? Who wants to perform?
Oh, that's right.
And
yeah.
The most unbelievable people step forward, and it's only the people that are omega radical.
Mega radical.
Yeah.
What was I going to say? I love the idea of Big Mike coming to you.
Oh yeah, he did.
I think you should
He sent me like his entire poem.
Big Mike has I've seen him twice, and he's performed the same poem twice, and it's about a big bottom Irish lass who comes up to him in a Irish bar in Woodside, Queens, where bars are still very, very Irish. And I think you got to do an Irish themed meal and just have Big Mike perform while it goes on.
They were in the tenement too.
Yeah.
I guess there's an article in the Times today about Irish food, so if we need to know about that, we can consult that.
It's interesting that God, I have it in my... It's like right here. It's like 3 inches from my hand, this article, and I haven't read it yet. What's the focus?
I don't know. I haven't read it either.
Oh, damn. We can pretend.
We can look at it right now.
That it's on modern Irish food? Why do they do that so shortly after St. Patrick's Day? Curious.
I don't know. They kind of missed the boat on that one, didn't they?
Well, we'll have to see. We could be making asses of ourselves and see how amazing this article actually is. But I do like the idea of the fact that you could, for at least several more, the themes of your meals could be based around who lived in that building at some point.
Yeah, it kind of has been. I mean, our neighborhood on the Lower East Side is a mix of essentially, you know, Jewish, Latin, and like Chinese at this point.
But there used to be all sorts of other immigrants that lived there.
Yeah, it's been a neighborhood through which a lot of immigrants have cycled through.
Yeah, but I mean, well, yes. And is it really, it's really Chinese?
Yeah, in my building over on Clinton Street, a lot of the names on the mailboxes are Chinese.
That's pretty interesting. But maybe like first wave Cantonese or like new Fujianese, do you think?
Fujianese.
I actually would not be able to recognize. You think?
Fujianese.
Yeah, I think Fujianese too. I think more recent.
Imagine the research you would have to do to make that meal.
I know.
We could just bring in like a Chinese catering chef.
Really? Who have you brought in as a guest chef?
It's not who we have, but who do we plan on?
Who do you plan on?
Yeah, this is kind of a new and upcoming element that we want to bring in. We kind of want to capitalize on this this network of supper clubs in New York and start bringing people in from different supper clubs.
Oh, it's like the supper club.
No, they don't really have like a chef. That's more of like a roaming supper club. It's like a private club.
Well, no, but like your supper club would be the it's like where it's like yet another element of showing off an artist is now you're showing off the supper. Like here's meet this supper club.
Exactly. So we know a lot of people that do different supper clubs and we'd like to start bringing them in to cook if they're.
Have you been to all of them?
I've been to definitely a few and I really like them. I mean, supper clubs are so awesome because they focus so much on like teaching you. So like they'll make it for you, but then they put it down on the table and they like sit down with you and they'll talk to you about what they made.
But yours are very different than that. Or do you do the same thing?
No, I'll sit down with the people and you know, like tell them about what I made and do some really funny jokes, like give him a spoon with a hole in it.
Oh my God.
We had a spoon shortage at the last one, so Adam was giving people huge serving spoons to eat their soup with.
That's really funny. And are people, I mean, are they okay with that? Or like, no, I've paid whatever amount of money for this club. There's no working bathroom on this floor.
It's how you pull it off.
Right.
You'd be like, this is the way it is. Like, you're not getting a spoon, you're getting a measuring cup. And then, you know, Jenny comes in right behind me. She's like, oh, Adam.
Do the people from the dinner stay for the performances? Or is there a difference in the audience or is it all the same usually?
Usually they stay all the way from the very beginning of the dinner to the very end of the supper club. They're like the most hardcore. They're awesome. We have a really great group. I mean, it's always a different group at dinner, but they're open-minded. I think they're longing for something sort of bohemian. Or we don't charge that much. They're longing for something different.
Are they Manhattanites?
Some are, some aren't.
Because I feel like what you're doing is not even actually what you're doing is not. You don't find exactly that in Brooklyn, but the spirit of what it is, there's way more of it in Brooklyn, and it's almost. You're like the only thing like that happening still in Manhattan, unless I just don't know that it exists.
We're trying to bring back like that old world thing, you know, like the old, what was like old New York like? Not only like what was old New York in the 80s where you're mixing all sorts of amazing people in some sort of like underground space that you kind of need to know about. Like you were reminiscing back to those like the 1920s, to like all those amazing like literary societies, those like groups of artists that all got together
and even like the, you know, the 1700s and 1800s in France, like the idea of a salon, although we're not having intellectual discussions exactly, we're trying
you to. Are though around the dinner
we haven't
table
yet, but we plan on it.
I've had plenty of intellectual conversations in your non-living room living room. You haven't?
I'm usually running around like a nut, you know. But that's what I love to do.
Oh, well, so you're going to, so like one of the focuses in the future is to set up a time during these events where that's actually going to happen?
Kind of. We're not exactly sure how to do it. We've tried icebreakers. Uh-huh. And oh, we're sort of two minds about that. I kind of think they're forced and summer campish. But they are a way to get people talking to each other. So we're thinking more about how to do that. We really want to connect people. And in fact, we have had some connections as a result, if you want to talk about that.
Oh, it's so cool how like the people meet at the salon and they meet, they talk, they get really excited. And then they start planning out projects. A group of saloniers just did an Alice in Wonderland project.
I sat with them at the brunch.
They were so cool.
As luck would have it. Yeah, they were really cool.
Yeah.
You have to describe for people you have to describe for the five people listening what you're talking about. When you say the Alice in Wonderland shoot.
Oh, okay. So you get one girl who's really amazing with paper mache. She uh-huh. makes these giant like paper mache bunny heads. It's the Compound Eye.
Uh-huh.
The group. And then you get a photographer, Adam Courtney, and then Metaliva, the producer, puts it all together. And they have a set designer, and then they just do a shoot, and it just looks really rad. You can check out our Facebook page. Actually posted a video on it.
And Les Saloniers Facebook page.
Yes.
And the video is amazing.
Make sure you spell it correctly.
We're also on Twitter.
And just to tie this back to food, I met the entire group of people moments before they went off to do this amazing Alice in Wonderland shoot while we were sitting around the table at the Jewish brunch where, because there was a fruit platter, we were trying to figure out exactly what the person who had to bring fruit was sitting at our table because he was asked to bring fruit. And we were like, what fruit do Jews eat? So it pretty much prompted this hour long conversation about how it would depend on where you were from in the world and whether it was figs if you were from Israel or if you were a Florida Jew, it would be a Florida grapefruit or so on and so forth. So there you go, tying it back to food. But the video on Facebook is actually outstanding. It's very cool.
They put it to a Chromeo video, to Chromeo music.
And I couldn't believe that they went and did that after they ate as much as they did. It was impressive.
That's true.
Yeah.
People have been known to remove their clothing at these events as well.
After dinner?
If you stay till the very end.
It's yeah, you know, it's just they get excited and they're like really into it and they're just like, let's get naked.
I could, yes. I could totally see that.
It's in the best taste possible. They're like stone sober.
I think it's the sign of a great party if people get naked.
I do too.
It's true.
Yes.
It just depends what time it happens.
Yes.
You know, if it like the peak hour is about like 1 a.m.
If somebody can pre,
if
let's
it's at like
naked.
4 a.m., it gets creepy.
You think 4 a.m. is creepy?
4 a.m. naked time is creepy time.
Right.
I think like 7 p.m. would be creepy.
Me
too.
I think you can over. I think you can early. To, like
you gotta you do
can,
it during
let's
the happy
go naked
hour.
A little too early. Yes. Actually, maybe like I would say, as dessert is being served or after would be my preference.
Well, it's funny you say that because at my first dinner party, we served dessert on a naked girl.
Oh,
and
that's
boy,
well, that
with sponge cake and raspberry sauce.
I saw the photos of that.
It was an amazing food experience.
How did you get everyone to leave that little teeny tenement dining room so that you could put the person there without them seeing?
No, it wasn't at the tenement. It was at...
Okay. So we're about to wrap up. And I want to know... I have like 2 minutes to read this massive script on TechServe. But I also want to hear very quickly what your fantastic ideas were. It's like the major, major thing in the future.
For the future?
Yes.
Oh, cool. So we're going to be introducing a bunch of guest lecturers into it. Just talking about really relevant things for artists and for the food people. It's just... Like the first one we're going to do is like for social media. It's like, how do you document yourself? How do you get yourself out there? And then just different things, entrepreneurial things.
Maybe like a slight, like an educational component. Yeah, totally.
Yeah. And I guess that harkens
empowering people
back to the sort of intellectual aspect of the definition of the word salon.
Totally.
Wait, I think you should have somebody do a food demo. Like how to make mozzarella or something. Oh. Especially if you're in the tent. Oh, like yes. Like that would be so cool.
That's a great idea.
Yes. We're definitely still evolving, as you can probably tell.
Someone please give us a shout us out.
If you're interested in getting involved, please contact us. info@lesaloniere.com.
And I really think you should do the bodega one. That sounds amazing. It's like it's such a good fit because it's like Lower East Side, but we could totally decorate the whole space like a bodega. Even though there's like a bodega across the street,
so
you don't really
like
need to decorate
so
it.
Affordable to do.
Yes. I'll bring my cans of Goya beans.
I know.
All right, so this past half hour of fabulousness could not have been made possible without TechServe, which is New York's premier authorized Apple reseller and service provider. I actually bought my Mac there and get it fixed there. Serving individual customers, creative professionals, and Fortune 100 companies, TechServe has built built a solid reputation on its expertise in technology, sales, and service. As a company that believes in honest and forthright business practices, as we all do, TechServe is proud to sponsor Heritage Radio Network, that's us, in the promotion of sustainable lifestyles like the one I live. To support sustainability in New York City, TechServe is holding an e-waste recycling drive Saturday, April 10th from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. For more information, go to techserve.com. And please listen to heritageradionetwork.com and
subscribe to Rachel.
Yes, and on look iTunes. Up to Les Sommeliers on Facebook.
And Twitter.
Yeah.